When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. It's Paul Santos filling in on The Tim Weisberg Show this morning. Good morning and welcome in. Very happy to be here today on what is going to be a beautiful Friday here in the South Coast. And right now off to a great start. Sunshine about 63 degrees. We're going to have high temperatures today in the 80s, just the way we like it. In July, it has been a very nice July. I always like July anyway because it's the best month of the year weather-wise, but it's also my birthday month, right? You know, they drag it out now. It's not just a birthday. It's a birth weekend. It's a birth month. They like to drag the whole thing out now. And I just had a birthday the other day, 64. I can't believe it. The numbers just keep piling up there. They say that once you get to this point, you really don't want too many more birthdays, but mine went very, very well. We got some family coming over tomorrow, so we're very, very blessed. But welcome in. We have a lot to talk about today here at WBSM. Again, Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg. If you'd like to give me a call and say hello and talk about whatever's on your mind, you're welcome to do that, of course, at 508-996-0500. You know, something in particular I wanted to talk about today, and we can go any direction that you would like. I like the idea of the audience kind of moving things in a particular direction. I have a few things that I would like to talk about. And, you know, I have my views on certain things, and sometimes I agree with those to the political left of me. Sometimes I agree with the political right of me, probably a little bit more on those slightly to the left, but really moderate, I would say. I would describe myself as a moderate. But here's the thing, right? This is what I want to talk about today. It's the political discourse. The political discourse is just so nauseating, so irritating, so negative, that even though I'm an attorney and I enjoy debates and I enjoy listening to people give their opinions and why do they have your opinion or why do you think something's a good idea or why you think something's a bad idea when we debate back and forth and, you know, we support our contention with certain facts and try to persuade the other side that maybe you're making a good point or something like that. But it never really is presented in that fashion. It's always presented in, I'm smart and you're stupid. You're an idiot for believing what you believe in. And the conversation just goes down to this negative rabbit hole, which I don't find entertaining. I think it's nauseating. If I put either the television on or I put the radio on and people are talking over each other, calling each other idiots and everything else, I'm gone in about 10 seconds. I can't stand it. I want to have nice civil arguments back and forth where we agree to disagree and then we move on. And that happens a lot too, but it seems like things have just gotten nasty, you know? And after that god-awful attempted assassination, where people from different ideologies were talking about how they were going to turn the temperature down. Let's turn the temperature down. And then it's like 10 days later and it's like, well, that person I disagree with is an idiot and they're a communist and they're a Marxist and they don't know what they're doing and they're a nut job. And that's coming from one side. And then on the other side, it's like, well, you're a racist and you're a Nazi and you're this and that. How ridiculous and how unfortunate, you know? I got to tell you, Chris had a great show the other day. Chris Markey, a colleague of mine, was on. And most of the time they were talking about the Karen Reed case. Now, I got to tell you, people ask me all the time. I was at the dentist one day, And once they know I'm an attorney, people usually ask me, hey, Paul, you following the Karen Reed case? I'm like, well, you know, I haven't been following it. And they say, why don't you follow it? Don't you find it interesting because you're an attorney? I said, well, this is what I do all day. This is what I've been doing for almost 40 years. The last thing I want to do is come home and then listen to a trial after I've worked on that, perhaps that day or whatever, what have you. So I didn't find it entertaining to dive into that case. I would say, though, that the thing that I find a little bit upsetting is that people would take a slant one way or the other, and not just take a slant one way or the other, go hardcore one way or the other. Like they 100% know what happened. She's 100% innocent. She's 100% guilty. I know it. You should know it. If you don't agree with me, you're stupid. You know, the only people that really have an opinion that I think is of importance, of course, is the jury. And, of course, the jury couldn't reach a decision. But in order for your opinion to really have validity, you would have had to have listened to the case. You would have to come into the case as an impartial person, not knowing anything about it or very little about it, and then just listen to the evidence and then formulate your opinion based on the evidence, not come into the trial already on one side before it even starts. And then having mobs outside trying to intimidate people in the inside that are listening to the case. You know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, there was a professor in college. I was a history major. There was a professor in college, and he always used to make the wisecrack that, you know, the Pope was always Italian. And every year the Pope was Italian. The Pope was Italian. So then one year they were thinking about having a Polish Pope. And this goes back to, I think, 1500 or something like that. And there was a mob outside, and the mob was ranting and raving that it should be an Italian Pope, not a Polish Pope. And the idea is that the cardinals get a message from the Holy Spirit to say who the next Pope was going to be. And there was a mob outside ranting and raving that that Pope should be Italian, and it was a mean mob outside, and it was getting ugly. So then the professor said, well, luckily the Holy Spirit came through, and they had an Italian Pope. So the bottom line is you don't want mobs outside of courtrooms trying to, you know, make it uncomfortable for the jury or make it uncomfortable for the judge. It's supposed to be impartial. They're supposed to be listening to the case with impartiality and base their decision on the evidence that's presented, and only reach a guilty verdict if the case was proven beyond a reasonable doubt. So anyway, Chris Markey was on talking about that. Excellent, excellent, excellent. But the thing that I had to enjoy the most about it was at the tail end of the interview, it was asked of him to give his thoughts on the presidential election, and he indicated that he had always supported Joe Biden, that he's now going to support Kamala Harris, and that he always got along really great with moderate Republican Charlie Baker, seeing as how he's a moderate Democrat. And nobody called Chris Markey stupid. Nobody called him a communist or a Marxist or anything else. He's a moderate Democrat from southeastern Massachusetts. And I would venture to say that, you know, Tom Quinn's not a Marxist or a communist. He's a Democrat. John Mitchell is not a communist or a or a Marxist. He's a Democrat. I'm sure Tom Quinn, the Democratic district attorney, isn't for defunding the police. You know. So these like ideas that you're going to criticize somebody that is from the other party that you might disagree with and call them names just doesn't fly. And it happens the other way, too. You know, when we say to our conservative friends, we call them Nazis and racists and everything else because maybe they don't agree with the diversity and, you know, the DIE, the diversity, equity, and inclusion philosophy, or maybe not to the extent that some people on the fringe left do. So, you know, I think that it's very, very important to have political discourse that's not so inflammatory, that you have respect for the other person's point of view, that you don't call them stupid or you don't call them names, and you don't have that arrogance about you that you think you know everything and the other person doesn't know anything. And a lot of times the person who thinks they know everything and that the other person doesn't know anything, they're the person who knows the least. I always like to say that I hear people giving commentary about courts and procedures and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, have they ever been in a courtroom? When was the last time they were in a courtroom? I don't come on here and pretend to know anything about mechanical engineering. I don't come on here pretending to know anything about HVAC, air conditioning, construction, repairs, home improvements, plumbing, heating, electrician, any of that stuff, automotive. So I'm not going to get on here and start telling people about it because that's not my field of expertise. So, you know, be careful when you're giving your opinions. You know, I like to say that, you know, you can have an opinion, but then be open to be persuaded. Be open to the other person's point of view. And by the way, don't look at the other person as somebody that you hate, that you, you know, just, you know, have such hatred towards just because it's a different point of view. And that's the thing I think that frustrates me the most. Where's the positivity? Where's the happiness? Where's the, you know, feeling of being upbeat? Feels like it's all gone. You know, I got to tell you, I'm going to play you a clip when we come back from the break. And I want you to listen to this clip, and I'll cue it up, and I will tell you when it's coming on so that you know when it's coming on. And it was, I saw this on C-SPAN, right? So C-SPAN, I like to watch C-SPAN. You know, I like to watch C-SPAN is because C-SPAN doesn't have the intrusion of somebody's opinion. You know what I mean? It's just like I'm watching C-SPAN. I'm watching it straight up. There's no commentator telling me what they said because I heard what they said myself. So really, you know, I like to hear C-SPAN. So there was an author and a historian by the name of H.W. Brands. And H.W. Brands talked about how we need to do better when it comes to political discourse. And then he gave his summary of how things can go sideways when we don't do it that way. So what about that? Do you agree with me? I bet there are people on both sides of the political spectrum from all different ideologies, from all different backgrounds, from all different economic, you know, areas and parts of the city, either in the city or in the suburbs or older people, younger people. I know that you have people in your family that you love that have different points of view than you do. People that you care about, people that are family members, maybe your dad or maybe your son or maybe your daughter or maybe your sibling. And, you know, you have to have respect for that other person's point of view. And I think Chris Markey was really great because he was able to express his point of view in such an eloquent fashion. And maybe it was partly that I like the fact that he comes from similar background as I do, being a former prosecutor, defense attorney, attorney for many years. And so he was able to articulate his position so eloquently. But I just thought it was really great. I thought he did a great job giving his views as to why he's a Democrat, why he supported Joe Biden, why he's supporting Kamala Harris. And, you know, you didn't have to agree with him. You don't have to like it. But the idea that, you know, somebody that you disagree with isn't bright or isn't smart or is an idiot, you know, I just can't stand it. I really, really have to tell you. That was one of the things I want to talk about today. You know, when I put on the television or I put on the radio and that's kind of the presentation that's being made, oh, it just makes my skin crawl. I just don't like it. I mean, I like good radio. I like good television. I like good debates. And I come from a legal background where I can have a vigorous debate with a friend of mine and it can get vigorous. And then 5 minutes later, it's like it never happened. I mean, I guess it's because of our training or whatever. They were able to do that without staying mad at somebody or anything like that. But I think it's the way you argue, the way you present yourself, that's important, you know. And there are some big issues that we have in front of us. But there's a lot of positivity, too. Just came out that economic growth is up. Inflation is down. Things are going pretty well. All I can tell you is somebody was saying, are you better off than you were 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago? All I can tell you is I looked at my 401k and it doubled in the last 5 years. So I actually am better off than I was several years back. But anyway, if you have an opinion on any of this, I'm going to talk about some of the other stuff too. But when I come back, I'm going to play you a clip of this author, H.W. Brands, and get your thoughts on it. It's Paul Santos in for Tim. It's 1420 WBSM. We are at 99.5 FM. Ah, yes, back to my DJ days, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I got a chance to see them a couple of times in concert, and wow, they were just fantastic. Really like that R&B stuff. I like the rock stuff, too, but I have some thoughts here about some of the music intros that we're going to play today just to jumble things up a little bit. As a matter of fact, those concerts that are in downtown New Bedford, there's going to be an R&B band down there tonight, And that'll be in downtown New Bedford, the summer concert series. And I'm pretty sure it's an R&B band tonight, so they'll be playing a lot of music like that, like the Earth, Wind, and Fire is in the Kool and the Gang and all that kind of stuff. And the other band I really like, too, that's similar to that in some respects because they have the horns, and that is Chicago. One time Chicago played with Earth, Wind, and Fire. One time the Doobie Brothers played with Earth, Wind, and Fire, or did they play with Chicago? I'm trying to remember now, but I'm not a big concert person, but I have to tell you, when it's Earth, Wind, and Fire, or, you know, Lionel Richie, I saw Earth, Wind, and Fire with Lionel Richie up in the Garden not that long ago. Oh, that's some great music. That's music that makes you want to get up and move around a little bit. So that's why we're keeping things positive here. Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg. Beautiful morning out here, 67 degrees at 6:25 in the morning. And I want to play you a clip here of a gentleman, as I said, by the name of H.W. Brands. And H.W. Brands is an author and historian, and he wanted to talk about political discourse, and I couldn't agree with him more. Check this out.
You fundamentally disagree with politically. There is a temptation that I think has become more pronounced over the last 10 or 15 years, probably with the emergence of social media, for many people to treat politics as a way of feeling good about themselves by vilifying the people they disagree with. That is a recipe for political engagement of a sort, but it's not a recipe for actually solving problems, because the problems become more attractive than the solutions. Acknowledge that you do not have all the answers, and that the essence of democracy is to come up with the best common ground you can find. We've all got to live in this country. We've all got to live on this planet. So let's make the best deal we can. You should expect to live in a state of at least mild dissatisfaction, because you're not going to get everything you want. When there's general agreement, we've solved those problems. Now, those problems were a big issue in times past. Should women vote? Well, in 1900, this was an issue that split the country pretty much down the middle. But nobody's saying we ought to take the vote away from women. So if you have a democracy, then you probably ought to be stuck until you can get past that. But the only way to get past it is to assume that the people you disagree with have as much right to their opinions as you have to yours, and then make the best of that.
Well, that's a great commentary there by H.W. Brands. He is an author and a historian. And he's talking about how you should assume that the person who you disagree with is coming from a good place, pretty much, and that you should listen to that person who you disagree with, have respect for that opinion, and not vilify or have hatred for that other person. So I think we could all do better there. I like a healthy debate. I come from a legal background, enjoy it very much, and we'll continue to do that and enjoy it, and it makes good radio and good television, but not when it goes down that rabbit hole of I'm smarter than you, everything I say is accurate, everything that I say is right, and everything that you say is stupid. That's when you lose me. So any discussion that we have here, we're going to try to keep that above board. What's your thought on that? Do you think that there is a way that we can get back to having a political discourse? I got to tell you, I remember watching a clip of some of the debates, like Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter, and then it was Ford that debated, and Geraldine Ferraro in the vice presidential debate, also Walter Mondale, all of those debates. There was a certain level of decorum. You know, you just, here's my opinion, and here's why I think this is the better plan. And then the other candidate would say, this is my opinion, and this is why I think this is the better plan. And that was it. I mean, it didn't just devolve down into this mudslinging, scummy kind of a mix-up. I don't know. I don't find it appealing at all. I mean, it's fine to mix it up a little bit, but not to the point where we are right now. So we shouldn't do that. I think we could all do better, and that's what I would ask this morning. Do you agree with me? I think there are people out there that are going to agree, regardless of what your ideology is, that we could do better, that we could show respect for the other person's point of view. So the political discourse argument. And, you know, things are bad in some respects, but to say that they haven't been worse, you know, this god-awful assassination attempt, man, that was just awful. But I was telling my kids, you know, I was born in 1960, And from 1960 to 1980, there was an assassination attempt almost every other year for 20 years. Either an attempt or a successful assassination. 1963, John F. Kennedy. Right after that, Malcolm X. 1968, Robert F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King. 1972, George Wallace. 1975, Gerald Ford. Twice. And then in 1980, Ronald Reagan. So that's eight assassination slash assassination attempts during that about 17-year period. Not to mention riots in the streets, Vietnam protesters, all kind of problems. Drugs, LSD, all kind of problems in the 60s. So we've dug ourselves out of hostility before, and I'd like to be optimistic and think we can do it again. So let's look at that. Let's look at the political discourse. Let's make it a better political discourse. We can have our disagreements, but have respect for the other person's point of view. Okay, we've reached the bottom of the hour, and I believe it's time for the news, so let's kick it over to our newsman, Mr. Phil Devitt.
Kamala Harris gets the Obama endorsement. Transportation attacks in Paris as the Olympics get underway. And this could be the biggest weekend ever for two superheroes.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Barack and Michelle Obama are endorsing Kamala Harris in the Democratic race for president. The former president and first lady released a video this morning showing Vice President Harris speaking on the phone with both of them. Obama could be heard saying, quote, "Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and to do everything we can to get you through this election and into the Oval Office." French officials say the National Train Service has been targeted by several, quote, malicious acts ahead of the Paris Olympics. Tony Waterman has the story.
According to the rail operator, deliberate fires were started to damage facilities on three high-speed rail lines, paralyzing travel between Paris and the west, north, and east of the country. A fourth attack on the south line was foiled. The attacks have left thousands of travelers stranded at train stations. Officials say repairs are already underway, but could last the entire weekend, potentially impacting Olympic athletes. France's sports minister says they are working on alternative transport for any affected delegations. At this point, there is no evidence that the attack is related to the Games. Tony Waterman, Paris.
Hot, dry winds are fueling wildfires out west. The largest active wildfire in the U.S. is the Durkee Fire in eastern Oregon, which has burned nearly 270,000 acres and was only 20% contained as of Thursday night. In northern California, the arson-caused Park Fire north of Chico has blown up over 120,000 acres and is only 3% contained. Harvey Weinstein is in the hospital with COVID and double pneumonia. On Thursday, Weinstein's representative announced the disgraced former movie mogul has been moved to the prison's hospital ward. He's being treated for COVID, pneumonia, diabetes, fluid in his heart, and various other conditions. Southwest Airlines is getting rid of its open seating system. For the first time in its history, the low-fare carrier will move to assigned seating, allowing it to charge a premium for some seats on its planes. According to Southwest, when customers switch to one of their competitors, the number one reason they cite is Southwest's open seating policy. A viral TikTok challenge is forcing Chipotle to address complaints about small portion sizes. Tammy Trujillo with the details.
The Chipotle camera trick challenge started trending after a Chipotle customer posted a video of an employee who added more food to his bowl because he was being filmed. The video got over 2 million views and has inspired similar videos to get bigger portions. Now the head of Chipotle says they're training and coaching their employees to make sure they're consistently making bowls and burritos correctly. CEO Brian Nichol said Thursday there was never a directive to provide less to customers. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And Marvel Studios' Deadpool and Wolverine is expected to break the record for best opening weekend by an R-rated film. The third film in the Deadpool franchise is projected to make between $160 and $170 million in its first weekend in theaters. Some projections have the figure closer to $200 million.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Red Sox begin a three-game series against the New York Yankees tonight at Fenway. That starts at 7:10. And the United States going for gold at the Paris Olympics. The opening ceremonies today from Paris, 1:30 our time. Now your ABC 6 forecast brought to you by Sea Streak. We're warming up quickly today with a lot of sun, afternoon highs in the low 80s. We might have some hazy skies at times, not from clouds, but from some wildfire smoke. But it's going to be way up high in the atmosphere, and there's really no risk to your breathing while you're out and about. Weekend looking to continue the nice weather. Temperatures gradually increasing each day. Humidity as well, making for nice beach weather if you don't go to the movies this weekend. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down?
Sure, why not?
Oh, what you gonna do? Do you want to get out?
Yeah, I think so.
What you gonna do? You want to get out? What you gonna do? You want to get out? Tell me.
Paul Santos back here on the Tim Weisberg Show. Thank you so much for listening in here on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM. If you'd like to give me a shout and say hello and give me your thoughts on different topics that have been discussed here, we are at 508-996-0500. Starting off with the rant about political discourse. That's kind of how I started the show here at the top of the hour, that maybe we could do a little bit better with our political discourse, that we can disagree with the other side without showing hatred or vilifying the other side. And I did play a little clip of an author by the name of H.D. Brands, and I thought it was really good what he said. And I'll play it a little bit later on this morning in case you missed it. But basically that, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes somebody will make a point from another ideology and you say, gee, you know, if you really step back for a moment, instead of digging into your side, maybe you can say to the other side, hey, you know, that's a good point. Let me think about that for a moment. And be open to changing your mind. Be open to be persuaded. I think we dig into defending our side or defending our original point of view without being open to what the other side has to say. So I think we got to do better there with that. So what do you think about that? Could we do better with the political discourse? That's the first thing. The second thing, a news item came out this morning that Governor Gavin Newsom, who's one of the more liberal governors in the United States, has ordered the removal of the homeless encampments because of the decision by the Supreme Court that you could do that. And so that's what's going to happen in California. Now, the issue that we have to ask ourselves here, is that something that we should do here? Should we go and have the homeless encampments removed? Now, he's doing it to the ones that are on public property, only public property only, of course. Obviously, if it's private property, then it's a different situation because perhaps you have zoning issues that come into play and that sort of thing. But when it comes to setting up a homeless encampment on a public property, the Supreme Court has said that you can have them removed. Well, yeah, they're in violation of the law. But I found it ironic that it's one of the more liberal governors that decided to initiate this plan to remove those who have homeless encampments. Ordinarily, it would be someone who's more on the conservative side that would do that. So if you're a conservative, right, why don't you just say, well, you know what? Good job, Gavin. You saw it the way I've seen it. Right? So maybe that's true. Maybe Gavin looked at it and said, ah, you know what? We've let this go. We've tried to work through this. We've tried to show too much compassion. And now we've got people all over the place on public property. And it's not really good for them. It's not really good for the public. It can sometimes endanger the public. It cannot be sanitary. People can take advantage of each other. It's just a bad situation all the way around. Now, the issue then becomes, if you're going to remove the homeless encampments, you really should force people to go to, maybe not force them, but say, look, you can't stay here, so we're going to remove you if you don't leave. But we do have a homeless shelter you can go to. We have a place you can go to where you can get, you know, a warm bowl of soup and a cup of coffee and something to drink to try to help folks. So that's fine. But as far as homeless encampments just staying there, I think most are in agreement, and I am too. I don't think that's good that you just leave them there. I think you should come up with a plan as to where they might go. So maybe there's a place that they can go, or there's a homeless shelter that they can go. But certainly having homeless encampments all around public property is not good. Again, it's unsanitary. It can be harmful not only to the people that are there, but people that are nearby. Sometimes these homeless encampments that are on public property spill over onto the street. Again, unsanitary situations. Garbage is there because they're not following along with sanitation removal and so forth and garbage removal. So the fact that it was a Liberal governor that wanted to remove the homeless encampments, I find that surprising because usually the Liberals always err on the side of being too soft. You know, they're too lenient. They're too compassionate, you know, and sometimes it's against their own good that they're too compassionate. So I just found that interesting. What do you think about that? Is that something we should do here in New Bedford? Should the governor of Massachusetts say, hey, you got to get off the public property. The homeless encampment should be removed. I know there was some talk about having something in the north end where people are removed from the side of the street, but then set up in some place up in the north end. I mean, that didn't go too well. People didn't agree with that. And I have to say, I kind of side with the folks that had concerns about that. I think it's just a matter of, you know, the shelters. We just need more room in the shelters until we can come up with a bigger plan to try to deal with this issue. But should we do like in California? Should we just go out there and break up the homeless encampments? What's your thought on that? Give me a call at 508-996-0500. And also, I got to tell you something about ice cream, right? Probably thinking, what's ice cream got to do with any of this? Well, it is the summertime, right? So you know how in the summertime, people just love to go out and get ice cream? Well, I saw a newspaper article, right? And I don't even know if this is accurate or not. But this newspaper article indicated that people who eat ice cream on a regular basis actually live longer, right? I'm not kidding. That's right. They actually live longer. So I was like, really? Can that possibly be true? It almost sounds like something that, you know, somebody made up and that can't possibly be true. But supposedly there is a study that was done that says that if you eat ice cream at least once a week, you have a really good chance of living to 90 years old. Now I'm thinking to myself, geez, I don't know if I'm buying this, but I did want to ask you a question, right? When you were growing up, right, was there a particular ice cream place that you like to go to? I have to tell you, I used to go to a place with my family when I was a kid, about 8, 9, 10 years old, and it was a big deal to go to this place. We would pile into the car, and we would drive down to this particular place, and we would have our ice cream, and it was a big family event. It was myself and my brother and my mom and my dad and my grandmother and my grandfather, Vavor and Vavu, and we'd go down there and we'd get ice cream, and we'd make a whole day out of the thing, right? So it's interesting, right? I don't know if people look at it the same way as they did then, that they made it into a whole event. But that's what we did. And we went to a particular ice cream place, which was very, very popular, that doesn't exist now. So I'll tell you which one that is when we come back. Let me know what yours is. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. And as I said, this is New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM. We are also at 99.5 FM. This is New Bedford's News Talk Station. We'll be right back.
Got you.
It's a beautiful morning here in downtown New Bedford. Yes, the temperature already up to 65 degrees, and it is rising steadily. We're expecting temperatures right up there around low 80s, about 82, 83 degrees is the high. And looking at the weekend forecast, same thing. Tomorrow is going to be another beautiful day in the low 80s, and Sunday, another sunny day in the low 80s. So we're right here in the heart of the summer where we want to be, July, the best month of the year here in New England. And so far, with the exception of the last couple of days, where it was a little on the drizzly side, We have had a terrific summer so far, and hopefully that'll continue into August. We got the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament around the corner starting on Thursday up there at Madera Field. Always one of my favorite events, and if you have a chance, take a swing up there. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go to line one. It looks like this is Laura. Good morning.
Yes. Hi, Paul. It's always a pleasure to hear you on WBSM. I just love you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
The last time I spoke with you, we had talked about discipline in schools and in the home, and we had a very interesting discussion on that. But today, I love what you said about people and keeping things, you know, on an even keel, where people aren't getting headstrong and screaming and yelling and swearing and, you know, because this is what happens. Unfortunately, people have their viewpoints of what they feel is right, and they are right. And if it's green, it's green. There's nothing else but green. And it's too bad that people can't, you know, stop and listen to other people and listen to the other side. I mean, we all have our viewpoints and what we think is right. But I find, I work in retail, and I find the people that scream the loudest are usually the people who are wrong. Always.
Right, exactly.
I've always believed that. I've seen it time and time again, and I've been in this business I've been in this business all my life with retail, working with the public since I was 16, and I'm 1 year older than you, so it's been a long time, as you know. But you mentioned something on a lighter subject that I'd like to talk about, is you talked about ice cream, and I love ice cream. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite dessert. Ginger ice cream has always been my favorite, which it's a love or hate thing. You either love it or you hate it. I loved it. We used to go to Gulf Hill with my grandmother a lot. She was into ice cream. And as a kid in the 60s, you could buy in, like, say, 1965, 66, a one-scoop ice cream cone on a sugar cone for 25 cents back in the day and not a poison.
I remember that. I remember that. If you went to 35 cents or if you want the three scoops, you got the 45 cents. That was a big deal. 25 cents, 35 cents, or 45
cents. Exactly, and I spent all my summers in Mattapoisett because my grandmother lived there down on the Neck Road, way down at Antasawamba Club, which I'm sure you're not aware of where that is, but it was right on the beach area, and we always gravitated there no matter where we lived in this country because that was my mother's mother. So we always went to Gulf Hill. It was a big deal. You know, always had our ice cream. I loved it. It was fantastic, and they had old flavors. I mean, like grape nut pudding, you know, rum raisin or frozen pudding. And there was a place in Marion called Peterson's, and that was a great place. It's no longer there. Gulf Hill is no longer, but it's Oxford Creamery now in Mattapoisett. And they still sell ginger, so I can get it there. It just isn't quite the same as it was when I was younger. It doesn't have that real ginger taste to it. But sometimes I'll just have that as a vanilla frappe and just use the ginger ice cream in it, and that's really good as well.
You know where we used to go, and it was like a big outing at the time. And when I think about it now, it really isn't that far away, but we used to go to Salvador's. That was our big night out. We get everybody in the car. We get Mom and Dad, my brother, Vavor and Vavu, and we take that little ride out through Dartmouth and pull into, you know, that looks like a can, you know, like a milk can. And unfortunately, it reopened for a while, but then it closed again. But that was our favorite spot growing up. Salvador's out there in South Dartmouth. Do you ever go out there?
Yeah. I haven't. I didn't grow up in this area. Actually, I lived all over the country. Mm-hmm. So, but I would go see my grandmother. And I remember going into New Bedford and, like, going to some of those old places like Cherry and Webb and Star Store. And I remember the old wooden floors, you know, that were rickety.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I remember a lot of that. But, I lived elsewhere. I didn't start to live in New Bedford until 1978 is when I moved to New Bedford.
Wow. Where were you from originally?
I was born in New Jersey. I've lived about 10 years in Connecticut. I've lived 6 years out west of Chicago. I've lived a little bit in Florida. That's why I pronounce my R's. I don't say toxic kind. Although somebody caught me. I went to Virginia the other day to visit, last year to visit a pen pal of mine in Fairfax, Virginia. And I used the word draw, and she turned around and she said, oh, I love that New England accent.
So you were picking it up. You were picking it up without even realizing it, right?
Right. I've lived in Connecticut, so I've lived in Massachusetts as well. You know, like a couple of years I lived in Massachusetts before I actually moved back here. And because I say like silverware draw, and a lot of people say drawer.
Right.
She says, oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that. I said, I know. My mother says it that way. That's how I've always said it. But my grandmother, her mother, everything was tomato, bathroom. I mean, you know, she said one day the man was shot. I said, oh, my God, what happened to him? And she says, shot, you know, like his insurance.
Short, yeah, short, right, right.
I had no clue what she was talking about. Or the car was whopped.
Well, my grandmother used to say bath. They're going to take a bath. Time to take a bath.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
All right, I gotta let you go because I'm getting close to the top of the hour. Thank you very much for your positive comment. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Take care. Have a great day. All right. Coming up on News Time in about 2 minutes. But yes, we used to go to Salvador's. That was our spot. And I know there are a lot of other great ice cream places. Freight's in the North End, right? That was another one that's not there anymore. Some of them are still there, and many of them are not there anymore. But where did you like to have ice cream going up? Supposedly, and this is the article that we found over here. My wife actually found this one. Did you know that people who eat ice cream every week double the chance of living past the age of 90? And those who eat ice cream every day are 5 times more likely to reach 105. Maybe I ought to check the source on that one, huh? That one seems to be not so believable. But anyway, it makes you want to go out and have a cone of ice cream, doesn't it? Let me know where you grew up and where you got your ice cream growing up around the New Bedford area. And by the way, if you had any comment about that whole political discourse rant that I went on to start the show, well, let me hear you talk about that. I think we have to be more respectful of people we disagree with. I'm going to play a clip of an author, and I played it at the beginning of the show just after 6 o'clock, talking about how we really need to be much more respectful of people we disagree with. I just can't stand it when people start calling each other stupid and everything else. I mean, just don't do that. Have respect for the other person's point of view. I think we all need to do better.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.